Well, if you would, go ahead and take your Bibles and let's turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. So we're going to be looking at here tonight. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, I'm looking forward to casting a vision for this coming year here at Centralia Bible Baptist Church. Now, we've got a lot to read tonight, so let's just get right to it. Let's cut to the chase. So if you're able, if you would, please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 29. Everyone take a look here at verse number 18. The Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Okay, so maybe not a whole lot of reading, but there is a lot to unpack here. So I'm looking forward to bringing forth a message that I'm calling a vision for the future, a vision for the future. And so I might go ahead and be seated as we get into our message here tonight. There's an expression that I think is very true, and it's, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. If you don't aim at anything, you're going to nail it 100% of the time. Life is just too short and far too important to just coast through it. You need to have a vision. You need to have a purpose in life and not just kind of wing it and not take it seriously. I mean, if you consider the mission that Jesus Christ gave to the church, we looked at that just this morning as well as a couple weeks ago. The mission was to evangelize and to disciple their city, their town, their region, their country, the world. They have a big task that was given to them. And if you consider the enormous responsibility that's there, you'll quickly understand that we cannot afford to not have a vision to work towards. It's imperative we have a vision. So in this verse, Solomon, he succinctly states a truth that has enormous meanings. What did he mean by vision, and why is it important to have one? Well, first off, a vision is needed if there is to be growth. If you want to grow, if you want to make progress, you need to have something to progress towards. You need to have a vision to be looking towards. And you need to have a vision for yourself. The Apostle Paul, he described what it means to have a vision for yourself. He wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." So Paul, he says, you need to be thus minded. You need to be God-minded. And it's absolutely essential that each of us have some personal desires and goals for ourselves. And you know, I'm kind of talking just some of the basic things. Nay, you could probably even say carnal things. Like, I have a vision to be healthier. I have a vision to save 15% of my income to put towards savings or retirement. I have a goal, whatever your goal is, to brush my teeth every day. Whatever your goal is, you need to have a vision in order to work towards something. If the only vision for you comes from someone else, you're going to be in trouble. If the only vision you have is what I give to you, saying, all right, my vision for you is whatever, you're going to be in trouble. You need to have your own. It's my greatest honor to stand here and preach to you the gospel each and every week. It's a privilege. And it is the highest calling in the world for me to open God's word and to challenge you. One famous preacher said that he wouldn't stoop, wouldn't even look down and consider being the president of the United States. That's how high the office that a pastor gets to hold, because there is no higher calling. It motivates me and it thrills me to urge you and provoke you unto love and to good works. But if you do not have a vision for yourself, there will be no growth and there will be no advancement in your life. The Bible says, to whom much is given, what? Much will be required. God is giving you his word. He's giving you his will, his wish for you as an individual. And you're required to act on it. We talked about it this morning, God's revealed will. That's what God wants for us. We got to act on it. So question, can you name one thing, one area, or one aspect of your personal life that is better this year than it was last year because of a vision you had for yourself? By just a brief show of hands, could anyone answer that question tonight? I'm not saying you have to. I'm just curious. Okay. Really, the principle is this simple. If you don't have a vision for yourself, you probably won't like my vision for you. If you don't have any goals that you are reaching for in your own life, you're not going to respond to my vision for you. So what has God revealed to you about yourself? You need to have your own personal vision. You can't rely on someone else giving you a vision to work towards. What has God spoken to you about concerning yourself? Paul spoke often about his personal goals and his desires. One example is in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Paul wrote, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So Paul's goal, his ambition, his desire was that Christ be magnified in his body, whether that was by his life or, if necessary, by his death. Whatever it was, Paul's desire, his goal was that Christ be magnified above all. So you need to have a vision for yourself. For those of you who have families, particularly dads, moms even, you need to have a vision for your family. As a spouse, you need to have a vision. As a parent, as a part of your family, what has God shown you about your home? What are your dreams for your marriage? What are your dreams for your children? What are you doing to make that happen? You need to have a vision for your family. And you also need to have a vision for your church. What would you like to see God do in your church? And I mean that, your church. It needs to be personal. This needs to be a place where you're like, hey, that's my church. Because when you have that kind of mentality, when you have that mindset, it's kind of like investment. You're invested into the body of believers here, in this case, at Centralia Bible Baptist Church. When you hear somebody on the street talking about CBBC, oh, hold on, you mean Centralia Bible Baptist Church? Yeah, that church. That's my church. What do you got to say about it? you need to have a vision for church as well. Again, what would you like to see God do for your church? What is your vision for the church here? What are you praying for specifically? I shared a challenge with the men on Faithful Men, our first Faithful Men in January. I asked the men, and I'm not going to say who all and who all didn't, but I asked the men who were there if they would commit to focus on trying to reach one person this next year. Their goal, to give this person the gospel, to try and see them saved and added to the church and discipled. Basically, to fulfill the Great Commission, if they would focus on one person. And some of the men are like, absolutely, right on board with that. You see, they had a vision. They have a vision to see God work in other people's lives. So a vision for your church will also do this. It'll prompt you to go to church. If you have a vision for your church, you actually might want to show up. If you are praying and have a vision, you won't want to miss it when it happens. You see, if you have a vision for your church, it will also prompt you to give to the church. See, no vision is possible without sacrifice. It'll also give you, a vision will give you, will prompt you rather, to help grow the church. Raise your hand, be honest. Raise your hand if you would like to see Centralia Bible Baptist Church die and fade away into oblivion. Put your hand down, Charlotte. Her vote doesn't count. She's not a member. No one here would like to see this church go away and fade into obscurity. Why? Because we love God. And we love what God is doing in our town. We love what God is doing in Centralia. And that is happening through the ministry here at Centralia Bible Baptist Church. Now, is Centralia Bible Baptist Church the only church God is going to use to reach this town? No. But, I am biased. It's the best one. Having a vision for your church will prompt you to go to church. It'll prompt you to give to the church. It'll prompt you to help grow the church, to reach more people, to have more influence in our community. And it will also prompt you to be grateful for the church. People with a vision for their church never take it for granted. You also, in touching with that, you need to have a vision for your community. I think if you have a vision for your church, this next one will kind of just tie right in there. You need to have a vision for your community. Now, complaining about the things that we don't like about our community, if I can speak in Texan, ain't going to fix it. Just complaining about it ain't going to fix it. Griping and murmuring will not improve a single aspect. So you and I must have a vision for our city in order to bring about change. Well, I don't like what the city's doing about this thing over here. Okay, well, what do you propose we do? I don't know. It's their job to fix it, though. Come on, if you don't have a solution, I don't think you have a right to complain. Well, let me rephrase. Just because you don't have a solution doesn't mean you can't complain. I think you should be working towards a solution. I can complain about a lot of things that I just don't know how to fix, but I want to fix it. Anyway, I don't get myself in trouble if I keep talking. You and I must have a vision for our city in order to bring about change. God forbid that a single politician has a greater vision for our community than we do. Let's not leave the future of our community to those elected in the office. Let us have a vision for our community and then act on that vision. We want to see our community have a revival. Grow closer to God. Well, what are we going to do to make that happen? Well, we're going to get out there and spread the gospel. We're going to get into people's homes and show them the love of Christ in their homes. We're going to put on events and invite people to it so they can hear the gospel and see what it really means to love God and what that looks like. Having a vision will help with all of that. We need to have a vision for the future if we want to improve it and make it better. But we also must not call it quits once a particular vision comes into fruition. You see, once we achieve our vision, we can't be like, all right, that's done, and then just stop. The vision, it must go on. That means you get another vision. So I want to thank God this evening that He has continued to flood my heart and soul with a vision for this church. God has He has blessed me as your pastor with a continued vision for this ministry. I hope it encouraged you to know that I'm not just, well, we're just going to keep on keeping on this year. But no, I really am excited about what God has kind of burdened my heart with for what we can do as a church. You see, all over this country today, pastors mounted their pulpits with no vision. All across this nation today, church members came in and sat down in a church with no vision. But God has given me a vision for Centralia Bible Baptist Church. He's given me a passion and a vision for Centralia, Washington. Yesterday, I walked through one of the neighborhoods of our town, witnessing, knocking on doors. Had a great conversation with a young man. His name was Nick. He actually was a friend of Brother Matt Christensen. Him and I were partners yesterday. And had a great conversation with him. Cute little two-year-old little girl. Another little girl on the way. And just being able to witness to him and share with him the gospel. Why was I doing that? Because, and why were we out there? Those who were out there yesterday, why? Because we still have a vision for our city. I've been making notes. I've been meeting with people for weeks, yay, months. Why? Because I still have a vision. I know God's not done with us here. Never underestimate the importance of having a vision. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 9. Her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. The law is no more. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. Where there is no vision, the people perish. 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. I can't help but see the symbolism that's here in this passage. The corresponding scenario is blatantly obvious, in my opinion. Don't think for a second that verses 2 and 3 are in no way connected to verse number 1. The Bible is clear. There was no open vision. It said the word of the Lord was precious. Why? Because there was no vision. So anytime the word of the Lord came, they were hungry to hear it. What does God have to say? But there was no vision. As a result, the people were perishing. The ministry was perishing. The temple was perishing. The credibility of the Levites was perishing. And the younger generation was perishing. Eli was lying down. His eyes waxed dim, and he could not see. The lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark was. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So there must be a vision. There must always be before the people a vision. And lastly, there must be cooperation with the vision. I'm sorry, not lastly, nextly. There must be cooperation with the vision. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Acts 2:44, "And all that believed were together and had all things in common." So God gave some great men in the Bible a vision. They were great visions. They were commendable visions. They were honorable and godly visions. But there was one constant factor in each of these cases. They could not implement the visions alone. They needed help. What good is my vision for this church if there's no one to help me with it? What good is your vision for this church if there's no one to help you with it? Just like the men in the Bible, they needed assistance to enact their vision. Whether it was Noah's vision to provide an ark for the saving of his house, whether it was Moses' endeavor to build a tabernacle in the wilderness, whether it was David's desire to construct a temple for God to dwell in, whether it was Nehemiah's burning passion to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. each of these cases, there was inspiration. There was a divine inspiration, you could say, to do these things. But there also had to be implementation. In each of these accounts, the one who had the vision was tasked with taking it to the people. Noah had to go before the people and his family and cast his vision. Moses, with the building of the tabernacle and all the requirements that were there, had to go before the people with that vision and so on. In each of these situations, people were tasked with cooperating with the vision of God's man. In the New Testament, the Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. And yet, Jesus, who, by the way, is God in the flesh, recruited a dozen hand-picked men and commissioned them to help him. It was the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ to come into the world to save sinners. He shared that vision, that goal with the local church, and he recruited each one of us to help him do that. One of the most vital elements in the vision is the cooperation of God's people. Where there is no vision, though, what happens? The people perish. And where there is no people, the vision will perish. Now, I can speak from experience. Where there are no people to implement the vision of God's man, the vision will soon die, and there will soon be no vision for the people to follow. I've seen that happen. So while there must also and must always be a vision, you must work to finish and accomplish the vision. And this is the last point. The objective of a vision is to bring about change. That's the whole point. I have a vision for something in the future that requires us to do something to achieve it, thus change. The objective of any changes should be to bring God more glory. Not to make us look any better, but to bring glory to God. People that do not like change will not get excited about a vision. If they are satisfied with the status quo, they will not want to hear about a vision or see the vision. And people get a little nervous when you introduce an idea of changes. I mean, I'll be the first to admit, I'm not one who really cares for change. I like it when you find a good system, you stick with it. But you know what? Sometimes things just wear out and you gotta move on. Man, just, I get, oh man, 1988 Chevy Camaro, T-tops, 350 under the hood. Oh, great car. Do you wanna know something? Broke down, fixed it, sold it, broke down on somebody else. Needed to have a vision, and it wasn't because it was a Chevy. I caught that. Nothing stays the same. Either it goes forward or it goes backwards. Either it starts to grow or it starts to die. The purpose of God giving a pastor, giving a church a vision, is to move us out of our current comfort zone. You can't have the completion of a vision without change. You can't have the completion of a vision without some discomfort. You can't have the completion of a vision without somebody having to make an adjustment. You know, over this last year, I've learned something as a pastor, that people seem to only like change when it's their idea. The purpose of this annual business meeting is to glorify God for all he has done and to prepare our hearts to receive the burden. And by receiving it, I mean joining together with me and implementing and completing these new visions. So tonight, we're going to look at some specific areas of the ministry here at Centralia Bible Baptist Church and some ways that we can bring God more glory this year. And so at this point, we can go ahead and end the live stream and transition into our